All right, so here's my question, Dipper number one. Can we deport anybody? I mean, what the heck, man? So think about how little due process was involved in the violation of our laws for them to come here. Even the Biden administration itself was violating our laws in letting them come here. And then the Biden administration was crafting new and different and very innovative means to get them here, like the CHNV visas, the parole, the Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela program, where all they had to do was go, hey, by the way, we're scared. Did we mention we're scared? And they'd send you a plane ticket and fly you here and ship you all over the United States. It's just defies reason. But what we're finding more and more right now is the legal system is stacked in favor right now of libs. And they are constantly, the Trump administration, constantly facing injunctions against the efforts to deport known illegals. And all they're trying to do right now, by the way, is mostly, for the most part, get the criminals off the streets. So illegal alien criminals. And then you go one step further. The Alien Enemies Act of 1798, that's the one that Trump declared was applicable to drug cartels and Tren de Aragua and MS-13, transnational gangs and cartels. I want you to think about something. The left is like, we're not at war with the cartels. Of course we are. We're not at war with Tren de Aragua. Well, by God, yes, we are. Well, how can you possibly say that? They're not geographically based. They don't have governance. They don't have their own flag. They don't have an embassy. Neither does ISIS. Neither does Al-Qaeda. Neither does the Houthis that we're bombing right now. Neither does Hezbollah. I mean, they may control territories, but they are not considered to be a sovereign nation. Those are non-geographic terrorist entities. Non-state actors, they call them. In this case, Trump has decided enough. How many Americans have to die before we realize we're actually in a fight? So he declared Tren de Aragua, MS-13, and the Mexican drug cartels as enemies of the state. And under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, a law that has been in place since almost as long as our country has been around, it's still on the books. And in the absence of being either reversed or overturned on constitutional grounds by the Supreme Court or superseded by a subsequent statutory law, enacted by the legislative process, it's still good law. It doesn't matter that it was passed 1798. In fact, I saw Tom Homan. He gave a great interview where he had a total mic drop moment. Tom Homan he's Mr. Mic Drop, in my opinion. But Tom Homan looked at a reporter. He said, well, are we really going to apply a law that's over 200 years old? And he said, the Constitution's over 200 years old. We use that every day. He turned around and walked off. Gotta love Homan, man.
And then there's the clip of him eating the apple.
Oh, God, I still love that.
He does not care.
I'm so glad he's on our side.
Yes.
That being said, we're in a position right now where virtually everything we try to do to deport the bad guys, which that's the prime focus right now, illegal aliens slash bad guys, is being enjoined by the courts. Got a piece here from the National Pulse. U.S. deports more violent illegals, including Tren de Aragua gang members. So it happened again. By the way, this is Dateline today. The Trump administration deported another 10 violent illegal immigrants to El Salvador this past weekend, where they will be held at the country's CICOT prison, which is used to house dangerous criminals and gang members. The impact of this is the new 10 deportees will join over 200 other violent illegal immigrant criminals the Trump administration removed from the United States and sent to El Salvador as federal immigration officials continue to enact Trump's mass deportation policies. All right, so the bottom line is we got a great relationship with El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele. He says he's going to keep housing these deportees in his country's CICOT super prison. And he's all in. And by the way, I got an audio clip. I'm going to go ahead and call it. Let's do that before the break. I'm going to call up audio clip one. This is El Salvador's President Bukele on liberating millions of people by putting bad guys in jail. Play it.
And we're very eager to help. We know that you have a crime problem and a terrorism problem that you need help with. And we're a small country, but if we can help, we will do it. And we actually turned the murder capital of the world, that was the journalist called it, right? Murder capital of the world into the safest country in the Western Hemisphere. And, you know, if they sometimes they say that we imprisoned thousands. I like to say that we actually liberated millions. So, you know, like...
That's very good. Who gave him that line? Do you think I can use that?
Yes.
And in fact, Mr. President, you have 350 million people to liberate. Yeah. But to liberate 350 million people, you have to imprison some. You know, that's the way it works, right? You cannot just, you know, free the criminals and think crime's going to go down magically. You have to imprison them so you can liberate 350 million Americans that are asking for the end of crime and the end of terrorism. I mean, it can be done. I mean, you're doing it already. And I'm sure that people have seen the change in the streets. Yeah. A long way to go because you're just initiating your second term. But it's clear that, you know, with the numbers at the border, you know, when the even in Democrat-run cities, they get a help from the work you're doing. So I'm really happy to be here, honored.
All right, that was President El Salvador's President Bukele on in the Oval Office, meeting with the cabinet to include the president, and I love the line, and apparently President Trump did too. I love the line. He said, "It wasn't about imprisoning thousands; it was about liberating millions." What he's basically saying was, his country, El Salvador, was considered to be the murder capital of the world, and it is now one of the safest in the Western Hemisphere. Why? Because they had a major crackdown, and he put the bad guys in jail.
Yeah, Bukele literally has the playbook for it.
He does.
And it's putting people in jail. Like, it's not as complex as the left makes it out to be. Yeah. It's pretty simple. Yep. You know?
Totally. All right, well, yeah, way more on this. Can we deport anybody? I'll tell you all about it after the break. I got stuff here. By the way, I got a brand spanking new story about Judge Boasberg trying to hold the Trump administration in contempt. Well, I take issue with that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. So I'm looking at a story right now that came out just this afternoon, like right before I went on the air. Alicia here in the office printed it out for me. I've already had time to highlight it. Fox News is the copy that I got, Dateline this afternoon. A federal judge said Wednesday that he has found probable cause to hold the Trump administration in contempt for failing to return two planes deporting migrants to El Salvador last month, a major update that comes as tensions between the Trump administration and judiciary have reached a fever pitch. This is U.S. District Judge James Boasberg. And as one of our texters just texted a minute ago, absolutely correct, I'm looking at another story on ABC News right now. That was datelined April 8th. Today's what? The 6th. So 8 days ago. 8 days ago, Judge Boasberg, the same judge, was told by the Supreme Court that the Trump administration had a right to deport under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And he therefore, he's also told in that same Supreme Court order that he did not have jurisdiction over the matter. So now he's issuing a potential contempt finding for what occurred. Here's what he's doing, the best I can tell. And I don't think he has jurisdiction. I don't think you can issue contempt when someone is operating within their rights because you lack jurisdiction. Because a jurisdictional, as an attorney, I'll just tell you, a jurisdictional issue is a crushing moment in a case. You do not have a case if the court does not have jurisdiction. There's only two kinds of jurisdiction. One's called in rem and one's called in personam. And what that basically means is jurisdiction over the matter or jurisdiction over the person. In this case, they said he had neither. So lacking jurisdiction means he had no authority then to act on the case. So how then can he penalize people on a case he had no authority to act on? I don't know the answer to that. I am bumfuddled by this. But yeah, in the meantime, Dateline today, the court ultimately determines the government's actions on that day demonstrated a willful disregard for its order sufficient for the court to conclude that probable cause exists to find the government in criminal contempt. I guess he's just mad. I guess he's like, well, until you knew that I didn't have jurisdiction, you should have listened to what I had to say. And they're like, well, we already knew you didn't have jurisdiction, so you can go pound sand. That's, I mean, that's, anyway, Boasberg instructed the government to now file additional declarations in his court by April 23rd, so about a week. Failure to do so, the court said, would refer the matter for potential prosecution. What? Here's how Trump gets around that. He says, I take full responsibility. I was the authority. Guess what? He can't be prosecuted. He's president of the United States. So just go take a flying leap, judge. So, oh God. And by the way, the judge wants to know not only the acts that resulted in the noncompliance of his order, he wants to know exactly who it was that made the decision. Well, now, Trump administration wasted little time responding by saying we plan to seek immediate appellate relief and saying the president's 100% committed to getting criminals, illegal aliens, off our streets. But here's the thing, y'all. This is so lame. Listen, if they were out there scooping up people because of their religious affiliation, if they were out there gathering up actual citizens of the United States and shipping them to a foreign country, if they were taking people even who had green cards and you know, legal standing and just scarfing them up in big rallies and shipping them off to a foreign land, I would have a problem with that too. I don't care which side did it. But they're not. They're picking up people who are already here illegally and who are known to be criminals. It's not hard. Not only that, J.D. Vance has got some opinions on this. When we get back from the break, I'm going to tell you what he had to say. But J.D. Vance has got a theory on how we, or not a theory, but a suggestion on how we should handle these ridiculous arguments, you know, that say, we should go get that man back out of that prison down in El Salvador and bring him back here. Because if that's their plan, J.D., Vice President J.D. Vance, has a notion about what it really means. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Can we deport anybody? Anybody at all? My God. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We talk about can we deport anyone? And judges who are determined to not let it happen, and then judges who appear to be mad that they can't tell you not to put them. So Judge Boasberg has now issued a statement saying that he's intent upon finding the Trump administration in contempt of court for not turning the planes around in midair. And yet we also know that he's been declared by the Supreme Court of the United States to not have jurisdiction. I'm curious how he's even able to do the contempt order potentially if he has already been told he had no jurisdiction to begin with. I got one call on the line and I'm about to have a second. So Dana from Alabama is on right now. Dana, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Phil?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, I told JP, it's two different things. But the first one is this Judge Boasberg thing. I'm in total agreement with y'all. I was raised and taught in civics and everything in school that the Supreme Court is the supreme law of the land. If the Supreme Court has already shut him down on this, I don't understand where he thinks he's got any kind of standing whatsoever to file any kind of thing.
I don't either, and I practice law, and I'm still trying to figure out how he thinks he can do that. But yeah.
Well, and he also, I mean, he needs to be disbarred and kicked off anyway for all of this stuff he's got going on in the background with his daughter's connections and everything else. It's a bunch of baloney.
Well, and I tell you, one of the worst ones though is another judge. Who is an absolute female activist, and she ruled on cases regarding transgenders in the military, and you think she would have recused, but she didn't. I don't know if we're ever going to see him kicked off the bench because we disagree, but I think there can certainly be a complaint if someone has valid claim to show he had predispositions.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, and like I said, if the Supreme Court has already shut him down on even filing the stuff to start with, I don't understand where he thinks he's got standing for any of it.
I don't either.
But
go ahead.
The other thing I wanted to comment on real quick was this Democrat congressman that's going to El Salvador.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if he has seen I saw on X this morning, it was posted yesterday, I believe, the president of El Salvador has already put out a statement and said, if you come to this country for political reasons and start trying to raise political crap, I'm paraphrasing, you know, you could be incarcerated.
You got to watch that political crap. That'll get you every time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like you said, if you come to our country and you start doing things that are politically motivated or anything like that, that you can be charged and you can be incarcerated.
Well, you might fool around and find out, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
Well, thank you, Dana. I got to take another call real quick, but I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
All right, y'all have a great day.
All right, thank you. Go and get the other one on the call as soon as you can and give me a thumbs up when you're ready. But yeah, this is, this whole situation is really something. And for the judge to say that he's not only going to find someone in contempt, but he wants names. I mean, he's not just saying, I find this to be contemptible and I will hold the attorneys. No, he wants names. He wants a head to be hung on his wall. And I don't know that we can... I really think the Trump administration is going to wind up resisting this and they'll be fine. I also think that all that Trump has to do is say, it was me. So, and then what are you going to do? He's president. You can't prosecute the president. Right now on the phone, I've got former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne, who is also, by the way, a Marine Corps JAG and an all-around good dude. And he's on the phone right now. Jay Towne, how you doing?
I am well, sir. How are you?
Good. This is spur of the moment. Thank you so much for just being available. I had a legal question. I sent it to you, and you said, you want me to call in? Here you are.
It's just easier to call in than text, man. You know, I mean, sometimes that's how it is.
Well, listen, man, what do you think about this whole situation with Judge Boasberg, who the Supreme Court said about 10 days ago had no jurisdiction over the deportation under the Alien Enemies Act to seek out prison in El Salvador? Today comes out and says, on the same thing, because you didn't turn the planes around, I'm going to hold you all in contempt and I want names. How can he do that?
Well, I mean, he can write down on a piece of paper anything he wants to. at the end of the day, though, the federal government is going to give him very little, if anything. The order itself says if you don't prosecute this contempt, which, remember, Article 3 courts are not prosecutors, they're judges. They have no ability to dictate who's prosecuted and who isn't, at least initially in the predication. This is completely an Article 2 function. He said, well, if this DOJ won't do it, I'll appoint a special prosecutor to do it. A power he doesn't have. It's just so he wants to be the literally the judge in a contempt case is the jury. So he wants to be the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury. And he's already indicated how he's going to rule. So I guess he'd have to recuse. But here's the deal is that he makes a lot of factual, just so many factual errors in what he has stated in this order. He forgets the fact that most of what he was so upset about was his oral order to turn the planes around, which he has one. There's no such thing as an oral injunction.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court and the D.C. Circuit have both said, if you're not going to write it down, it doesn't exist. And the problem he has is that he gave an oral order to turn the planes around and don't let any more take off. But then in his written order, he didn't say anything about that. Now, which one as a lawyer, as a client, right, if you're a law-abiding citizen, which one are you going to go by?
Oh, yeah.
The written order. Exactly right. And maybe he had a change of heart. Maybe he had a change of mind. I don't know, but you didn't write it down, Judge. And, oh, by the way, those were Title 8 deportees. Those are not Title 50 pursuant to the Alien Enemies Act. Why? Because they were. And that's all you get to know. They all had orders of removal, and we sent them all home. And I'm the President of the United States, or the Secretary of Homeland Security, or the Secretary of State, and that's my job. It's not yours. And you got judges like Feeney's in Maryland with this guy. They're just revealing today, apparently he used to beat up on his wife, and which was one of the reasons why he was not granted asylum as well. I'm talking about the MS-13 member that is in El Salvador right now, his home country. We sent him home. We gave him a free ticket home right? A government expense. You and I paid for it, Phil. But now you got Boasberg, who's been wrong throughout this whole thing. He's been embarrassed by the Supreme Court.
Yep.
He's been embarrassed by the Department of Justice. He's been embarrassed by the President Bukele of El Salvador, right? I mean, it's been great. But in his order, let me just give you a couple examples of what he has written in his order that is factually incorrect. One, worse, boasts by defendants intimated that they had defied the court's order deliberately and gleefully. Now, what he's referring to there is President Bukele's, which was attached to one of the government's motions. Bukele said they ain't coming back.
Yep.
Well, okay, they're in my country. They're in my jail. I'm the president of El Salvador. I feel like I have a say here, district court judge in Washington, D.C., right? And that's just how it's going to be. And what we've learned today also is that in this Maryland and D.C. case kind of go together, we are only paying El Salvador to house Tren de Aragua members, not MS-13 members. So we don't have any sort of custodial control over any of the MS-13 members, which signifies to me that we have no control over Abrego Garcia. And I know I'm toggling back and forth. I'm sorry to your audience. But really, when you have these judges across the country, whether they're in Massachusetts, whether they're in Maryland, D.C., Northern California, it doesn't matter. Right here in Huntsville, we don't have judges in Huntsville to do this. I wish all these lawsuits were in the Northern District of Alabama because President Trump would be allowed to be president.
Yeah, exactly.
But he would. And we have great judges here who I respect dearly. And there's several seats open on the federal bench that President Trump is going to be able to appoint whoever he appoints. I hope they are much like the folks that we have on the bench now. But Judge Boasberg can find whoever he wants in contempt. There's no way to enforce it. There's no legal remedy available to Judge Boasberg any longer for these TDA members. He was told that this is a habeas matter. You can't bring it under the Administrative Procedures Act, which he tried to do, which he encouraged the ACO to do. It was filed as a habeas petition, and he said, hey, if you do that, I know the law. I'm going to pretend I don't, but I know the law, and they're going to say you have to bring that where they're detained. They're in Texas. So why don't you do it under APA? Well you can't prosecute an immigration claim under the APA.
So the bottom line here, brothers, it looks like what we got is a case of judicial sour grapes, and it makes him look small that he's issuing these proclamations like this.
Well, yes. He is small. I'm not pulling punches on any of these judges any longer. One of the other facts that he said is that these non-citizens were removable solely on the basis of the proclamation, and they were transferred out of the U.S. In violation of the injunction. Well, once again, Title 8 and Title 50 have both been written down so this judge can read them. Title 8 is where our immigration laws live, and if you have a removable order under Title 8, then I can send you wherever I want to. Under Title 8. Title 50 is where the Alien Enemies Act lives. That's sort of our military authority and our national security authorities. And that's not how those people were removed.
Yeah.
It just happened to be. Now, we can do it, and we will do it, and we have done it. But what they're saying is if you're going to do that, they are entitled to an hour in court to show you that, hey, I am not a TDA member or I'm not the guy you think I am. And I'm fine with that, frankly. You could do 500 of them at once. You could do it all on the papers. You don't have to have a hearing, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You could just say, tell me in your papers why this isn't, Mr. Town. And why he's not a member of TDA, and then government, you respond, and then I'll just rule. Well, we caught him, and he had a flag that said, I heart TDA, and a membership card in his pocket, and his ID said, Mr. Town on it. Okay, well, that's clear and convincing evidence, and we don't have to do it beyond a reasonable doubt. You gone. So, look, this is all too smart by half by these liberals, because here's why. The powers of the President of the United States are at some point going to be sussed out, and Article 2 is going to be very deliberately and meticulously identified, these powers, by the United States Supreme Court. And then you are going to see, like rocket fuel, this administration do everything that they've been stalled in doing by all of these lawsuits and temporary restraining orders and injunction suits. And then, and they are going to then, just take off, and we are going to see millions of people deported, millions of grants, hundreds of billions of dollars in grants, stalled, and taken back, and that money clawed back and given back to the public fisc. This is all going to be great for the president. They've had a legal plan all along. I'm jealous. Because I don't know, I would have thought of all of this. There's some really smart people in this administration, especially in the counsel's office in the White House, and they knew this was going to happen, and that's why their filings are like just a couple of hours after the complaints or the petitions, because they know what's happening. This DOJ is doing a great job. Pam Bondi's great. Todd Blanche is great, and they're going to win. It's going to eat up this year. Hey. But once they do, it's going to be rocket fuel.
Hey, and listen, brother, I got to leave it there. I ran long, but I got to run to a break. But I appreciate you jumping in there with your background and expertise. And we'll just listen. We'll see where it plays out. But I think you're right. I think you nailed it. And I think it is sour grapes. But Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, thanks so much for your time, buddy.
Thanks, Phil.
See you, bud. Bye-bye. Well, that was huge. That was an unexpected call. And I agree with him. I think what we're looking at here is the judge has got it wrong from the get-go. And what we're looking at now is pretty soon we're going to get it all cleaned up. Good, smart folks. The Trump administration got it planned out. And then, by golly, we're going to be deporting millions. I love it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on the truth grenade. That's right. Dropping truth bombs everywhere, man. By the way, there's something going on at the White House. I don't know what's happening, but we keep getting one of those teasers that comes on saying, coming soon, White House press briefing, and all it says is, with special guest. It doesn't say who the special guest is. So you look that up, JP. In the meantime, I got so much more. I didn't even get to all of it related to the deportation question. But I will say this. I thought J.D. Vance made a great point. Vice President Vance was talking about Dateline today, Fox News, about the fact that you got the left constantly trying to stymie the ability to deport. And he says, when the media and the far left obsess over an MS-13 gang member and demand that he be returned to the United States for a third deportation hearing, what they're really saying is they want the vast majority of illegal aliens to stay here permanently. That's the straw man argument I was making earlier. That basically what they're using is the one to try and undermine the whole. They're using one example. They believe, which I think is, they're incorrect, but I think they think they've got something. We'll show you. We'll go down to that CCOP prison in El Salvador place, and we'll go in, we'll get him back, and we'll make sure. And he's just a father from Maryland. He's an illegal alien. He was a member of MS-13. He's an El Salvador citizen who's now been repatriated to his home country, and his home country has put him in prison. And by the way, that's where he's going to stay. If he did come back, all he would do is have a quick hearing and be deported again. It's not like he's coming back here to have anything other than maybe a hearing at best. Because Caroline Leavitt said herself, there is no reality in which he comes back here to get a hearing to just go back to life in the United States. It's not going to happen. Now, I look at that and think, yeah, spot on. But J.D. Vance points out, here's a useful test. You ask the people weeping over the lack of due process what precisely they propose for dealing with Biden's millions and millions of illegals. And with reasonable resource and administrative judge constraints, does their solution allow us to deport at least a few million a year? If the answer you get is no, then they've given their game away and they don't really want border security. Perfect. Ask them. What is your plan? What he's saying there is, I hear you. Guess what? We got a problem. What's your solution? If they don't have one, it means they don't want one. Coming right back, we'll take text messages and wrap this one up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Have mercy. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville back all the way over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border, what is now called again Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. A lot of doings. I'll get some text messages. I'm going to wrap up the section on can we deport. And I think the short answer is yes, we can. Absolutely, we can. I mean, the Trump administration, I've got a piece here from the Daily Caller. The Trump administration argues it's not going to have to return that suspected MS-13 gangbanger. They're not. In fact, Caroline Leavitt spoke about that. I'm going to call up audio two, man. So audio clip number two. This is Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, who was asked about this Mr. Abrego Garcia and whether or not he should have to be returned. What are we going to do about him? Here's her answer.
Still going off the El Salvador questions. Yesterday in the Oval Office, administration officials made it very clear that El Salvador is responsible for Mr. Abrego Garcia, yet El Salvador's president said we're not going to do anything with him. So my question is, who is responsible for this man and where he's going to end up?
Well, no. First of all, President Bukele said that he is not going to smuggle a foreign terrorist back into the United States of America, as many in this room in the Democrat Party seemingly want him to do. Abrego Garcia was a foreign terrorist. He is an MS-13 gang member. He was engaged in human trafficking. He illegally came into our country. And so deporting him back to El Salvador was always going to be the end result. There is never going to be a world in which this is an individual who's going to live a peaceful life in Maryland because he is a foreign terrorist and an MS-13 gang member. Not only have we confirmed that, President Bukele yesterday in the Oval Office confirmed that as well. So he went back to his home country where he will face consequences for his gang affiliation and his engagement in human trafficking. I'm not sure what is so difficult about this for everyone in the media to understand, and it's appalling. Truly appalling that there has been so much time covering this alleged human trafficker and this gang member, MS-13 gang member. It's truly striking to me.
I mean, she ain't playing. The administration ain't playing. Even President Bukele ain't playing. And the press can't let it go. Because I'm telling you, this is their straw man. This is what they need.
They needed something like this to be Maryland father. Accidentally sent packet, not the MS-13
member. And by the way, I'll be honest, when I first heard the headlines, I was like, oh crap. Mm-hmm. Did we really, I mean, did they round up some guy off the street who's got an American citizenship? No. In fact, I read up on him today. I read a liberal website today that was in defense of him that still said things that were egregious, like the fact that not only was he was detained in 2019 after being here several years illegally. Was being held in an ICE detention center, decided to marry his girlfriend while he was in the detention center. They literally passed rings through the hole in the glass to each other. And then he got out on ICE detainer, and they decided to scoop him back up and reject him and send him back because he had been granted, quote-unquote, asylum by the Biden administration. Come on.
Yeah.
So, now I'll talk about whether or not Congressman, is it Van Hollen, is going to go down there, or Senator Van Hollen from Maryland, go down there and see his constituent.
Well, he's there right now. He's in El Salvador right now.
He is there?
He is.
So he's down? So what happened? Did he get to see him?
Well, apparently not. He was not granted a meeting.
So he flew down there for nothing.
Yeah. His quote is, "I won't stop trying to release Kilmore Garcia. I can assure the president and vice president, I may be the first U.S. senator to visit El Salvador in this issue, but there will be more and more members of Congress coming." Gosh, you know what?
That's good.
You know what? What's frustrating about this, Phil, is all the carbon emissions that are being put in the air from all them flying down to El Salvador.
Don't you try to cross-pollinate our issues.
With our taxpayer money. It's really a shame. It's what they're doing to the earth.
But you know what, though? I mean, listen. In fact, I saw it. It was on a tweet. Here it is. Hang on a second. I think you even mentioned this to me before the show. Cory Booker is one of the ones who's also speaking out on this. Spartacus is speaking out. And somebody whose name is, and I know I'm mangling it, I'm sure, is Siju Wang, said, I was a New Jersey resident, Senator Cory Booker's constituent. I was jailed in Iran as an American hostage. Senator Booker never advocated for my release and refused to speak for my wife. Senator Booker is a hypocrite. And then you look at, okay, how about, let's see, how about the actual American citizens that are still being held by Hamas? Why hasn't Van Hollen flown over there to see them? This is a straw man.
It is. And by the way, they're not stupid. They know that they're not going to be granted a meeting. They know there's nothing's going to come out of their visits, but they're getting demolished so much that they need the most extravagant grandstanding as possible to distract from the winning that Trump's doing. And it's just for show. And we're paying for them to actually work on issues, not go down to El Salvador for meaningless trips.
Well, I think Senator Van Hollen from Maryland looks like a goofball right now. I mean, just anyway. I will say this, though. There have been a few setbacks, and we're going to have to keep working through them. This is a Dateline 2 days ago. Fox News, judge blocks Trump from revoking the legal status for 530,000-plus migrants who flew into the U.S. via Biden's CHNV program. That's the one that had Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. All you had to do was say you're scared to live there anymore, and they sent you a plane ticket and flew you in with no due process. You got to, you know, don't pass go, don't collect. You just went straight to it. And the Trump administration has now terminated that process. Like, we're not doing this anymore, and we're sending all y'all back. You know, the fact that you got to get a free plane ride over here is of naught to us. And yet, now we have another judge. Judge Indira Talwani, an Obama appointee, wrote that each one of those migrants needs to have an individualized case-by-case review. Stop it. They need more due process to get rid of them than they had to bring them in. And that's what it boils down to.
But then Biden has the executive authority to enforce that. But Trump doesn't have the executive authority to
revoke it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, it was not congressionally mandated. It was not like this is legislative action. It was not based upon constitutional grounds. It was a complete violation of national security. And the Biden administration did it on a whim. Phil, that's more than whimsical. No, it really wasn't. It was part of the overall plan. In fact, they even said it's because they were trying to speed up the process to get some of these people in. Really? Well, just let the inside words become the outside words, I guess. We did have ICE nabbed 18 illegal aliens in a massive Social Security fraud bust, which I was just proud of that. It's not a deportation, but I liked it. So I brought it up because it's my show.
Fair enough.
And then lastly, here's something interesting. As we are looking at deporting on a regular basis, trying to get millions out of our country, I am not aware of this. I did not know this existed. But there's apparently something, it's like a 60-foot-wide strip of land that runs across the borders of California, Arizona, and New Mexico. And it's called the Roosevelt Reservation, believe it or not. I've never heard of this. The Roosevelt Reservation. So that makes it federal land. And so Trump has decided that the Department of the Interior, which has controlled the Roosevelt Reservation for all these many decades, he's going to give it to the Department of Defense, meaning that they can then militarize it if they want to. They can make it like any other military installation. They can patrol it with military vehicles. They don't have to have any federal authorities granted to them specially because the Roosevelt Reservation, which is literally only 60 feet wide. I mean, it's like as wide as this building we're in right now. And it just runs the length of the border between three states and Mexico. And they're just going to go ahead and say, yeah, we're going to militarize that. Listen, the level of innovation that we're seeing right now in the efforts to secure the border, I go back to what Trump said during his State of the State address, or State of the Union. He said, he said, Biden said you couldn't do this without legislative action. He said, you didn't need new legislation. You just needed a new president. That's where we are.
They wanted new legislation to pack a bunch of other crap in it. It wasn't necessary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also to also codify a safer and slower way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And Trump's like, screw that. I'm going to militarize the border. I'm going to get rid of millions at a time. I'm going to make you try and stop me. And then he's going to appeal to the Supreme Court and find out that the majority of it he can just do without anybody saying boo about it because that is vested in the executive branch. All right, that was a whole lot. I got a ton of text messages I'm going to get caught up on. some now, some after the break. Don't forget, coming up to beginning of the next hour, the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. By the way, today is Wednesday, so my monologue, the Right Philosophy.
Your podcast.
I do op-eds, monologues, podcasts, and radio. But my latest podcast, The Right Philosophy. Mr. Production Manager, did indeed come out today?
It did indeed, yes.
What time?
10 a.m. this morning.
Okay, so 10 a.m. this morning, the latest edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast came out. I filmed that, by the way. I'm real proud of it. I film it in my study at home. And it's sort of a labor of love. I get a chance to put that together every week, film it over the weekend, goes into production, comes out, bam, on Wednesdays like magic. I don't know how you guys push those buttons and make those things happen, but I'm glad you do.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So the bottom line is all our stuff is available right now. You can go see it on podcasts. I mean, on any podcast format, you can listen to it there. You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on our website, rightsidemedia.org. But that is the latest podcast out, and more coming for the week. Lots of doings. Take me to a break there, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. And then, by golly, I'm going to catch up on these text messages because you guys are some awesome audiences. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Yeah, I'm saying, making common sense like a superpower. A bunch of text messages. Let me jump in there. You guys are awesome. Mike from Florence has said, you know you're on the right side when you hear Phil Williams say y'all in one of the commercials. It's true. There he gets good. Gary M.S. from Huntsville says, am I wrong? To have your civil rights violated, you have to at least be a citizen of the United States? Not necessarily, because, you know, there are certain freedoms that are allowed by being here, but the rights of due process are not always applicable under certain aspects of the law, and the due process is suspended in the event of the Alien Enemies Act, and that's because they are considered to be like military combatants almost, POW style. So a bit different there. Brand spanking new in the text line, Shane from Harvest. Shane, we're glad you're with us. He said, who's paying for this sympathetic senator's trip to El Salvador? And I would dare say that is not him personally. I think it's coming out of taxpayers. Now, each one of them does have an office budget for travel. They're afforded the ability to fly back and forth to their constituencies, to do certain things. They've got an expense account to work with. So I'm assuming he used some of that. What you got to watch for is occasionally, and Nancy Pelosi would do this sometimes, occasionally they would make a demand for military flight. And I'm doubting he got that on this one. Usually that's for trips to places which are considered to be either austere or have some risk involved. But I think he flew commercial. And I bet he paid for it out of his office, which is technically taxpayer dollars. Bruce from Springville says, Boasberg, that's Judge Boasberg, and the press are not sour grapes about the deportations. They're used toilet paper. Oh, Bruce. Gary from Leicester saying, isn't it hilarious that the left is only interested in one person out of thousands that have been deported? Yup. But that's, like I said, that's their straw man. They're capitalizing on it because they got nothing for the rest. They got nothing. They got no arguments. They can't fight it. So they found one they think they can grab hold of and make something out of it. Thomas from Athens says, the MS-13 scum was recently lauded by his wife, Ms. Alvarez, who has collected $162,000 in a GoFundMe account. But she had just years earlier in their marriage gotten two different restraining orders against the scumbag for his domestic violence. I had not heard that. Is that, you seen the reports on that?
Yeah, and the next text is actually a link to the story about that.
Russell from Rural Route 1. Russell from Rural Route 1 sends me a link to an article, sure enough, saying the post-millennial is reporting that this MS-13 guy, there were restraining orders against him for violence against his wife in 2021. Wow. Just wow. You know, but hey, we need him back. He's very important to all of us.
Productive citizen.
Yes. Actually not a citizen.
Fair point.
Resident. That's why they keep calling him a resident. Jeff from Indiana says, I think this judge ought to be arrested for insurrection. With a smiley face after it. He said he's trying to take over the executive branch when he has no authority to do so. It's the same thing that happened during the 2020 election when people with no jurisdiction to change election laws did so unconstitutionally. blending of the issues, but I would not disagree. Brian from Decatur says, I voted for a president to make executive decisions, not a judge. I don't mind checks and balances. This ain't that. Handyman from Caddo says, sounds like this judge career needs to come to an end at once. Well, I mean, if he wants to retire, that's fine. Federal district court judges are actually appointed for life or good cause. And that's the important thing to remember here. By the way, we have figured out now who the special guest is at the press briefing at the White House. It's her name is Patty Morin. She's the mother of Rachel Morin, who was murdered by an illegal alien. So I think they're tired of having the press question the illegal alien deportation thing. And she's now speaking in what looks like a very emotional moment to the press. And wow, how about that? Chris from Sterrett, Alabama says, Phil, I was in El Salvador over 30 years ago. It isn't the same anymore. He said homicide was 83% in 2017 and 1.9% in 2024. Wow. Good Lord. They did something right by cracking down on MS-13 and Barrio 18. Trump is doing something right and the Democrats can't stand it. Who wants a safe country anyway, he asks. This guy does, he says. All right, you guys are amazing as an audience. Listen, the end result of all this, here's my opinion. The end result of all of this is that we did indeed elect a president to make executive decisions that involved this border. I do believe that what we've got right now is a president who is willing to act on what he said he would do. We knew all along he was going to do this. And he has planned all along to do this. And he has the people to help him do this. If you remember back during the campaign season, the two biggest issues, and they went back and forth in whatever poll you were looking at, whether it was going to be one or two, the two biggest issues were always the economy and border control. The economy and border, basically illegal immigration. We voted for this. This was one of the driving forces in getting more people to vote to cause Trump to win both the popular vote and the Electoral College. So I absolutely believe that what we're looking at is exactly what we voted for. I don't know of any Republicans, and I don't even know any Democrats, who are like, you know, I'm all for illegal immigration. I want more of it. Nobody's out there saying that. Do I believe in due process? I certainly do. Do I want to make sure that human rights are not violated? I certainly do. But you know what? I also agree that the black letter law, as agreed by the Supreme Court of the United States, says that the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 still applies. So by God, if we're going to say that Al-Qaeda can be a non-state actor that's a terrorist organization, then so can a drug cartel that kills hundreds of thousands of people with fentanyl, or a Tren de Aragua who comes in and takes over whole sections of apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado. If you're going to be those guys, then guess what? We're going to be that country that says we will defend our own. This is our house, and we will defend our house. So yeah, I absolutely believe we voted for every bit of this. All right, coming up here in just 1 minute, we've got the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and little old me, where we opine on different issues of the day. We ping each other with questions, and then there's some breaking news that we'll get to. I'm going to find out more about what Miss Rachel Morin is having, or Patty Morin is having to say at the White House press briefing, because I find that to be rather galvanizing just looking at it. I'm thinking this looks like one that the press better not speak out of turn, because she might come across that podium. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.